Welcome to Draft Night in Nashville. Draft Night 2. Caroline Fenton, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason. We're out at the Wingstop in Inglewood, 3300 Gallatin Pike, where we will be hanging out here for rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL Draft. Our coverage is brought to you by the Nashville Sheriff Department. The Davidson County Sheriff's Office is hiring correctional officers. Call 615-862-8170. The first 100 people that come out to Wingstop tonight will get a coupon for 5 free boneless wings. So come hang out with us, D Mace, Chris Sanders, on a night 2. How we doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little tired.
I'm doing great. I got my light today.
Got the light today.
People can see me now.
Okay. That's important.
Smile, exactly. Smile.
That's the money shot.
It's going to be already tell.
It's going to be another long night. It's going to be a crazy night here at Wingstop.
Absolutely. Hey, what was the best thing about yesterday?
Was it Jared's reaction?
Oh, my gosh.
What's the best part of any draft night ever?
Jared's reaction.
Yes. Or should I say Jared's overreaction?
Absolutely.
Dude, he was in tears yesterday. Absolutely.
To a few things. The Texans taking C.J. Stroud.
Uh-huh.
To the Colts taking Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
And then the Titans taking Peter Skoronski.
Oh, that was the word. That was the funniest.
That was the tipping scale right there. That's what tipped it.
And this was a question I asked D-Mace earlier. But Chris Sanders, do you think that the Tennessee Titans stepped away from night one as a better football team?
Yes, I do. And the reason why I say it is because I know it's not the sexy pick by picking Peter Skoronski. I keep saying his doggone name, Skoronski.
Skoronski.
I said it yesterday. But the thing about it is, look at the identity of the Tennessee Titans team. They want to be a physical offensive line. They got to get some linemen. If you look at the offensive line right now, it's in disarray. If you look at last year, you know, what was the Achilles heel of the Tennessee Titans was the offensive line. So even though it wasn't the sexy pick and even though it wasn't the pick that everybody wanted, they wanted a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you had a building block of the offensive line because you absolutely need it.
And quarterback could still very much be in the cards. By a major surprise, Will Levis is still available in the second round. Let's go back just a couple days ago. The odds for Will Levis to go go number 2 overall went from +4,000 to +400. There was a big rumor going around that Will Levis was going number 1 overall.
That is crazy.
A 0.01% chance per ESPN stats and info that Will Levis would be available in the second round. Here we are. Should the Titans be in play for Will Levis?
I mean, if they like him, you know, if they feel at in the second round at the 41st pick, if they feel Will Levis is the guy, then you pick him and you go with it. You know, if you feel you may need to move up a few spots, if it doesn't cost you as much, because I'm not taking the same philosophy I did in the first round that I am going to take in the second round. First round, I've always said, listen, if you love that guy,
be bold.
Do whatever you need to do to move up. Second round is a little bit different. I think there's a point where you say, no, I'm not giving up that. But if you feel you can get him at 41 and he's there, you take him. If you like him, whether it be Will Levis or Hendon Hooker, if you feel he's not the guy, then take somebody else. But you have an opportunity sitting at 41, depending on what the teams do in front of you, to get a quarterback that before the draft was projected to be a first rounder, and now he slipped to the second round.
I like Hendon Hooker, though, man.
I do. I really do like Hendon Hooker. You know, they're different quarterbacks, two different quarterbacks. Obviously, Will Levis is coming from more of a pro-style system. Mm-hmm. Hendon Hooker isn't. Both of them are around the same age. Hendon Hooker just looks more polished and ready. Levis looks as if he needs a little bit more refining, but he can be there. But neither one of them, to me, are guys that are elite quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Could they turn into that? Possibly. But right now, as we sit, I think they're guys that can be starters in this league. But like Ryan Tannehill, you need to surround them with good talent.
I like Hendon Hooker because he's been consistent. And I'm going to talk about this. And I think it was 2021, he had 31 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. And then 2022, he had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Now he does not turn the ball over.
He doesn't turn the ball over. Yeah. And that's exactly. You got Will Levis, who had 24 in 2021. He had 24 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Then in 2022, 19 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
He was turnover machine.
So you don't want, and if you turn over the ball in the league, you're going to lose. So if both of those guys are sitting there at 41, I think I would take Hendon Hooker because I agree with Derek. His upside is better. And also, we don't take this. We got to take this in consideration also. You want to have a quarterback with a great attitude. I'm not saying Will Levis has a bad attitude, but you want a guy that can be leader of men. And we have when I say leader of men, that you don't know you're not cussing people out and you're not, you know, doing all this crazy stuff. Thank you. You want a guy that can say, you know what? I'm going to follow you because you consistently do the right thing.
Another thing is this is what separates the two. And this is only from a visual aspect, mm-hmm. what we've seen. Hendon Hooker looks as if he's about football.
Yep.
That's all he's about, yep. football. He doesn't care about anything else. And when I mean that, it's like it's his job. He's going to prepare. He's not worried about the outside stuff. Will Levis seemed to be more worried about the other stuff. I've always said there's two type of people in professional sports. It's what I can do for the sport or what the sport can do for me. Mm-hmm. Those are the two types of people. The people that says what I can do for the sport typically are the ones that last a long time in this league, those that do very well in this league, if injury isn't involved. Mm-hmm. And these are the guys that put in the hours to make sure they're prepared. The guys that ask, what can they do for me? They're worried about endorsements. They're worried about going out, being the life of the party because I play in the NFL or the NBA or the MLB or the NHL. There are a bunch of guys like that.
Right.
And there are a bunch of guys like, what can I do for the league? Hendon Hooker is what can I do for this league? What can I do for my team type of guy? And Will Levis sort of looks like the guy of, what can the league do for me? What can I get?
Yeah. And I think that him and Mike Vrabel, I don't think they would have meshed well.
Possibly not.
Because if you're in the locker room and you have a singlet taking pictures, I don't think he's going to do it to you.
Nah, he's not.
I mean, because the thing about it is, and you look at Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel, he's a fun guy, and I played with him at The Ohio State University. But he doesn't like the shenanigans. He's like, okay, I want you to be all about ball. If you're not about ball, then we're not going to draft you. And I agree with you too. That Will Levis is about, and I'm being respectful when I say this, but Will Levis is about, you know, I got to take my selfie. You know, I got to do this. I got to get my mark. That's great.
The bathroom selfies.
He needs to be in time. He's got to go in timeout. You're too grown to be doing that.
But I do wonder why the fall. Because Will Levis does have potential elite quarterback attributes. You know, he has the size. He has a heck of an arm. He's incredibly tough. Everything that I've heard of him at Kentucky was that he was the leader of leaders in the locker room. But there were rumors going around that he totally bombed interviews. And that in the meetings and in the interviews, a lot of teams got a bad feel with Will Levis. And I thought that could totally be a smokescreen coming out from one team who did have the sit down with Will Levis and said, oh, yeah, no, you don't want to touch him. He's a bad egg. And they ultimately take him in the top five. But maybe that was true. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the backstory with Will Levis. But there's something that's turning a lot of these teams off of Will Levis.
I think we always hear the saying, big players make big plays in big games. And if you look at some of the big games that he played in, that's where he struggled in. You look at when he played in the Georgia game, he only had 206 yards. Then he played against the University of Tennessee, he had 98 yards. So if you're not big in the big games, why would I draft you at that position if you're just beating the mediocre teams but you're not beating the elite teams?
Let's go to the draft board fueled by Parmenter Energy. Visit ParmenterEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. The Pittsburgh Steelers are now on the clock, and according to Mel Kiper's best available, Will Levis is number one, followed by Michael Mayer, the tight end out of Notre Dame, Joey Porter Jr., the corner out of Penn State, Brian Branch, one of your guys, D-Mays, safety out of Alabama,
yes.
Luke Musgrave, Oregon State tight end, and then Hendon Hooker, the quarterback out of Tennessee. All of those could potentially be available to the Titans at 41, but there have been a few rumors of the Titans potentially looking to trade up in the second round. That could be a quarterback move, but there is something that turns me off of the Titans potentially taking a quarterback in the second round, and that's if you were willing to pass on him in the first round, you're going to find your guy of the future in the second? Maybe so. Crazier things have happened.
Well, they
that makes
probably
me
don't
think
have
that
to,
they don't love him very much.
They probably never did have a first-round grade on him. They probably had a second-round grade on him. So they didn't – again, if you take him in the first round, even though you may love him, that's a reach pick because you have him slotted as a second-round guy. So now you look, day later, he's still there. So now – you think, well, I can either he can fall to me at 41 or we can move up a couple of spots to get him, you know, whether it's 38, 37, 36, somewhere around there. But we have a second round grade, so I don't think they would feel too bad drafting Levis because in the second round, because they have a second round grade.
You know, could this be the same situation as Malik Willis last year? Could he actually fall to the third round?
I mean, plenty of things have happened.
Absolutely. We didn't think Malik was going to be there in the third round.
He was projected to go in the first 15 last year, Malik Willis.
Oh, goodness.
I was going back through some of the old mock drafts. Yeah. There were a few, Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah, they all had Malik Willis going 32 overall to the Detroit Lions last year.
But you know what's so much is a lot of people always speculate, like Mel Kiper. We all do. We don't know, because the thing about it is, you know, these teams and these general managers and these coaches are evaluating these kids from the 10th grade on up. Mm-hmm. So they know their every move. They know their childhood. They know everything. So even though we may think that they want that person, they may have a different idea, like what we saw with the Texans. They went and got Stroud. We're thinking something different. They jumped up there and got Stroud, or they stayed there and got Stroud.
Pittsburgh is on the clock. We've got a lot of the deliberation up there on the NFL Network stage. Chris,
yes, ma'am.
I want to ask you.
How cute are you?
Yes, because it truly is a mystery to all of us how cute you are, truly.
I'm just kidding.
Quarterback is still in conversation for the Tennessee Titans because they did not get one last night. The Titans went into the draft last night wanting to get a quarterback. Do you think that all of the talk coming out, the Diana Rossini reports and then the Ian Rappaport tweets and then Mike Florio coming out and talking about how they all knew the Titans were going up to number 3 to take their quarterback of the future, did that motivate Houston to take C.J. Stroud at 2?
I've been conflicted with this. I mean, I was thinking about it all day long. I just think that the Houston Texans already had their mind made up. I mean, even though we're thinking that, you know, different guys will go at that position or somebody would jump up, whatever, but at the end, day, I think that they wanted C.J. Stroud. They need a quarterback. They got David Mills, you know, who's not a proven yet guy in this NFL, so they had to go and get somebody. We didn't know if it was going to be C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, the guy from Kentucky. So, you know, at the end of the day, they found the guy that's better for the team. But here's the thing that I love about the whole situation of what the Texans did. They got an offensive player, and they got a defensive player. Mm-hmm. I've looked at drafts for so many years. I've never seen a team do what they did. That was flat out amazing.
They gave up a lot to do.
They gave up a lot, but they
gave up a lot to do.
One of the best defensive players and one of the best offensive players, offense and defense. That's huge.
And now I think a lot of fans in Houston are going to be looking at D'Amico Ryans, looking at Nick Caserio, and saying, okay, now you got your quarterback of the future.
You're on the clock now.
You got your defensive guy. Now we're going to have to start winning a few games.
They don't have to win.
Not a whole lot of what they've been doing in Houston in the past few years.
Well, they have their who they assume is their quarterback of the future. They have their two building blocks. I look at many years, what a team having two first-round picks. You look at what the Baltimore Ravens did in 1996 when they drafted Jonathan Ogden, and then they turned back around and drafted Ray Lewis. Mm-hmm. You drafted two cornerstones of your team, one on defense, one on offense. And for them, it worked out perfectly. They got a Super Bowl. They got two Super Bowls. Well, one with Ogden, but they got two Hall of Fame players as well. I'm sure that's what Houston is probably thinking. Listen, we got a cornerstone on offense with our quarterback, and we got a cornerstone on defense with our rush in. Mm-hmm. And we hope that they give us the production that will lead us to the Super Bowl and ultimately those two guys being Hall of Famers.
The Steelers pick is, and we're waiting on the commissioner to head up to the podium. The Steelers last night took Broderick Jones in a trade, the offensive tackle out of Georgia. They're in some need of some defensive line beef up. They need some pass catchers. What's your pick here for Pittsburgh?
I would say a corner. I mean, Joey Porter. I would say him. I mean, They got some good corners and safeties there, but I think that he fits the scheme. He's physical. I think he can play ball, and I think that would be a good pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It would be full circle if they went and got Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah.
His dad played for Pittsburgh. Yep. He was a great Steeler. And if they turn back around and get Joey Porter Jr., the legacy continues. I think that's where they're going with the cornerback. But we will see.
The Steelers selection is in, and the commissioner is heading up to the podium. Is Roger Goodell now.
Come on, commissioner.
Annika now, who is with the Pittsburgh Steelers pick at number 32 overall.
Joey Porter Jr.
They took Joey Porter Jr., who in Mel Kiper's best available was third best available, pushing Will Levis and Hendon Hooker even further down.
Yeah.
Joey Porter Jr., what was your take on him?
He's a good player. good hips, physical when he needs to be. He has good speed. He'll come up and make the tackle if need be. I think he fits into what the Pittsburgh Steelers want to do. Obviously, they've seen this young man since he was little, you know, since he was in diapers, mm-hmm. you know, knee high to a grasshopper. So they know, they
legacy.
Probably know him, you know, inside and out. So that's a good pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, I believe that too also. And look at the guys that he covered in the Big Ten. He covered Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Marvin Harris Johnson. So it shows you that he's going against elite competition. So if you are covering those guys and covering the well, I think that's a great pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a great picture that I'm looking at right now that y'all can't see. But, you know, his father's holding him at a young age. Now he's getting drafted and play where his father played. Those are the stories that you love in this draft.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers with the first pick in the second round, taking Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn State. A lot of cornerback talent in this year's draft, mm-hmm. and wide receivers as well. They went boom, 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 one, mm-hmm. two, three, in the 20s last night in the first round. I expect to see a whole run on wide receivers in this in the beginning of the second round as well.
Yeah, there should be. There are a lot of good wide receivers in still left in the draft, and we'll see where they go. Jalin Hyatt, Cedric mm-hmm. Tillman, mm-hmm. Mingo is still out there. Nathaniel Dell, Tank Dell from Houston, he's still out there. So there are some receivers still in this draft that can come in and help you immediately.
You know, Mike Vrabel's been talking about they need to get faster, and I think Jalin Hyatt will be kind of that guy. I know everybody loves Tillman better than him, but you want to get on the perimeter. You want to get fast. If you look at the Tennessee Titans at the wide receiver position, you got Treylon Burks. He's not a speed guy. You got Racy McMath, who's fast with a little bit inconsistency. You got Kyle Phillips. That's a shorter guy that just have a little wiggle room to catch the ball. But you got to get somebody on the perimeter that puts some fear in somebody. And I think that Jalin Hyatt can be one of those guys.
Arizona's on the board now. Monty Austin Ford in his first year as a general manager with the Arizona Cardinals. One guy in particular that you've just got your fingers crossed does not get taken before the Titans pick at 41.
Say that again?
Is one guy that you just hope that does not get taken before the Titans at 41?
I say Hendon Hooker. I mean, and the reason why I say is because, man, he's a guy that you can bring in to develop. And then at the situation with Tannehill, mm-hmm. Tannehill, you know, he's going to play. He's going to be here. But then you let Hendon Hooker have a chance to sit and learn from Tannehill. Learn from Tannehill, understand how to read coverages, understand how to go to your progression, understand how to step up in the pocket. He has the tools. He has everything that you want in a quarterback. But let him sit for a year, get healthy because he hurt his knee, and then now he be the face of the Tennessee Titans.
I don't think there's one guy that I hope is still there for the Titans. I do like Cedric Tillman. I think he will still be there. Mm-hmm. I do like the kid out of Notre Dame, Mayer, big tight end out of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He may be still there. He may not be still there because I know the Lions need a tight end. Excuse me. So they could take him. But there's no guy that is projected a second-round guy that I'm thinking like, man, you know, I hope he's there when the Titans draft him, even though I like Tank Dell.
Josh Downs, UNC wide receiver.
I think they will be there.
Wasn't that your guy?
Who?
Josh Downs.
No, no, Addison. Okay, yeah, Addison. He got drafted in the first round.
The Titans just traded up to the 33rd overall pick.
It's Hendon Hooker.
The pick is in.
I think it's
the pick is in.
Who do you say?
As Rand Carthon blows a bubblegum bubble.
I say Michael Mayer from the Notre Dame.
No, I think it's a quarterback. If you're going to move up, I think it's a quarterback.
Daniel Jeremiah and Mel Kiper each have Will Levis as the best available. Mike Vrabel with a big old grin on his face as he picks up the phone and puts the pick in. That is huge.
That is huge.
I do want to know what the Titans gave up in order to jump from 41 to 33.
Who do you think it is?
Ooh.
I think it's Will Levis.
You think it's Will Levis?
I think the Titans are trading up to take Will Levis. They got totally screwed yesterday by the Houston Texans. C.J. Stroud was their guy. They ultimately take a position of need at 11. Will Levis fell into their laps. That's what I think it is. That's why they are being aggressive with it.
It's kind of like the same thing that happened last year. Whoever thought that the Tennessee Titans would get Malik Willis? It's kind of like the same thing in the third round. They just dropped in the Titans' lap.
Wild. The Titans trading up, trading with the Arizona Cardinals. So the Titans give up the 33rd overall pick and their third-round pick tonight.
Dang.
Okay, that's fine. I can live with that.
Oh, they received the 33rd overall.
Oh, excuse me. They received the third round pick. They gave up 41st overall pick, their third round pick, and a 2024 third round pick.
So they swapped seconds and third.
And they gave up 2/3.
Who'd they get?
I can live with that depending on who it is.
What if you get somebody that you don't even know, like Joe Tipton from Wisconsin?
I mean, at this point, I mean, if it's another guard.
If it's a guard, I'm going to.
If it's a kicker.
I think it's a quarterback.
I think it's a quarterback.
Because the Rams are still in play, and the Rams may need a quarterback.
The Raiders could potentially still be in play for a quarterback, and they could be in love with one receiver, Michael Mayer, the tight end. But I think at that rate, you would just let the board fall. You'd let the quarterbacks push those picks down. The commissioner is headed to the podium. The Titans are on the clock trading with the Arizona Cardinals. This is the commish now.
The Arizona Cardinals have traded the 33rd pick to the Tennessee Titans. With the 33rd pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Will Levis.
No way!
Wow. Wow,
they got their quarterback.
The Titans got their quarterback in the second round. The Titans traded to 33, giving up two future third round picks.
Wow.
They get their quarterback, Will Levis, to the Titans, 33 overall. This might be the steal of the draft.
I think it is. I mean, a guy that can throw the ball, strong arm, throw the deep ball. Just a great, great guy. Man, golly, this is incredible.
So, here's the question.
Quarterback controversy.
If he's ready to play, because he's more ready to play than he's not, he's coming from a system that is ran here in Nashville. Do they start him right away, or do they bring him along slowly?
Wow.
I think that they're going to frame it like this. Ryan is our starter. They're going to let the two compete in camp. But I think the Titans are in the perfect position to take their quarterback of the future right now because he doesn't need to start right away.
So what do you do with Tannehill?
You start Tannehill in 2023. You let him play out his contract. You let Will Levis sit for at least the first half of the season. Let him learn the offense. He ran this offense at Kentucky. So you can let him sit. You can let him get accustomed to the NFL game, get up to speed about what the game at the next level is like, and then you move on from Tannehill in 2024, and Will Levis is your starter of the future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of looking at this whole situation. What do you think Tannehill's feeling right now as he's sitting that this pick has been made? How do you think he feels? Do you think he's excited? Do you think he's upset?
Oh, hell no, I don't think he's excited.
I'm just picking your brain because I'm telling you, the first day of practice, if Tannehill throws half of an interception, it's going to be a quarterback controversy, hands down.
That is going to be the tough thing for Tannehill because if it goes down how I think it might, where Tannehill's the starter, he has one bad game, he throws one pick, all of a sudden it's Levis, Levis,
say it again,
Levis, Levis. So, I mean, this is, I bet, you know, you're paying Ryan Tannehill $27 million this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is, I'm shook. That's the steal of the draft. I thought the Titans walked away from night one looking like absolute fools. Now they walk away with a quarterback, with a first round grade.
Yeah.
In the second round,
we can go home now.
I mean, that's the Titans are done for tonight. So yeah, thank you, Wingstop.
Yeah, I don't think third round picks
that's
for this year.
Pick.
They
or
gave
did they give
up.
It away?
Well, they maybe.
I think they swapped. I think now they have the 81st pick in the third round.
You go back and look and see what the compensation was. Holy moly. And the Detroit's at the podium now. Right? Sam LaPorta is the pick. The tight end out of Iowa is Detroit's pick. Holy moly. Whoa. I cannot get over the Titans getting Will Levis in the second round.
You wanted it.
They probably had a second round grade on him. And because last night, I did mention, I'm surprised the Titans, I thought they were going to try to move up in the bottom half of the first round, like the last three or four picks, to be able to get a Will Levis. But they didn't, because I believe they truly had a second round grade on Will Levis. So they come in today with the anticipation of them trading up to get Will Levis in the second round because it wouldn't cost them as much as it would have yesterday had they tried to move up in the first round, the bottom half of the first round.
Right.
So this was a strategic move, I think, by the Titans. Don't do it. Yes, they didn't do it yesterday. Mm-hmm. But in their minds, the first thing they were going to do was make the trade today to get their quarterback, who they already had a second-round grade on.
So what do you do with Malik Willis now? Is he gone? Is he going to be the third? Are they going to keep three quarterbacks on the roster? What do you do with a kid that just got drafted last year? He's still trying to develop, and now you got a guy that's going to be second right off the bat and potentially be a starter during the season. So what do you do with Malik Willis?
This is the move that shows the Titans don't believe that Malik Willis is their answer in the future.
Absolutely.
Maybe he can be your backup. You know, maybe it's the Will Levis and Malik Willis show for the next 15 years. But I think the way that the Titans view it is, look, man, if you can develop and be a backup, great. But we got other business to tend to. Yeah. If you can't be our guy, we got to find our guy elsewhere.
Nah, I believe he's gone. Whether it be through a trade, a package trade, but I think, unfortunately, Malik Willis may not be a Tennessee Titan. I hope he still is.
Me too.
I hope he gets a chance to develop. And if he's not on this team, he goes to another team. But it's looking as if he may not be on the roster come the opening game of the season. Or don't be surprised if Ryan Tannehill is traded away as well. One or the other. Because it makes total sense. Like, Will Levis, to me, is a guy that is ready to start. He may take his lumps, but he's 25 years old. Mm-hmm. He's ready to go. He's already been in his offense, so he should know the terminology at least.
Right.
Just get him up to speed and everything else. I wouldn't be surprised as if in their mind he's their starter for the season. They get rid of the contract with Ryan Tannehill, and they're done with it. Ooh, they trade him away, get rid of the contract, and they're done with it. And they will take their lumps this year.
Who's taking him?
I don't know.
Maybe. Somebody will take him because he's a good quarterback.
He is.
But they're not
going to. Exactly. Quarterback.
It would almost be better for Ryan if they do trade him away because you're basically a lame duck quarterback. You're not going to be here no matter what next year. You're not.
Yeah.
They've drafted their quarterback of the future.
Yeah. And what do you do with two starting quarterbacks? I mean, those are two starting quarterbacks. So something's got to give. Just like what Derek said, Malik Willis might not even be here. So what do you do? I mean, even if you keep Tannehill on the team, just like you said, he can walk wrong. He can go to the water fountain wrong. They're going to say they're going to boo him and say we got to play Levis. Everybody's going to scream it. You're going to scream it. Derek's going to scream it. I might even scream it if he throws one interception. So it's going to be wild to see what happens.
The Titans trade up to 33rd overall and take Will Levis. It's round two. I think it's the steal of the draft. We're out here at the Inglewood Wingstop, 3300 Gallatin Pike. First 100 people that show up tonight will get a coupon for 5 free boneless wings in their next visit. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back to discuss your thoughts. The Titans taking Will Levis at 33rd overall. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is draft night in Nashville, night 2. Caroline Fenton, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason. Draft night in Nashville. Welcome to draft night in Nashville. Caroline Fenton, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason. We're out at the Inglewood Wingstop, 3300 Gallatin Pike. Come hang out with us. The Titans traded up to take Will Levis at 33, but the Rams selection is in now. I think this is Hendon Hooker.
Who? Oh, yeah. Guard, TCU.
The Rams took a guard. With their first pick.
Their
first pick. Got to protect that quarterback. They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah. It's only one on the roster.
Only one on the roster. I'm shocked. I thought that the Rams were going to take a quarterback here. But I do wonder if it was Will Levis or nothing for them.
Yeah.
And that's why the Titans ultimately decided to make the move to jump over the Rams. I'm kind of surprised, honestly. I thought they would take a quarterback. The Rams taking Steve Avila, the guard out of TCU. I'm still shook about Will Levis.
Do you think they got better?
The Titans?
Yes.
Yeah. I do, but okay. Also, like, right now, I think so, yes. Is Will Levis going to be better than Trevor Lawrence, than C.J. Stroud, than Anthony Richardson? I don't know.
Let me ask you a question. First game of the season, who's the starter?
Tannehill.
I don't know.
But I don't know.
It may be Will Levis. It depends on how he comes along in camp. If it's even close, I think they're going with Will Levis, and they're trading away Ryan Tannehill. Mm. Just to get that contract off the books.
If they drafted Hendon Hooker,
I would say Ryan Tannehill is their quarterback into next year.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Tannehill's the
quarterback. But they drafted a guy that is familiar with their system, that has no, you know, he's not injured. It seems like he's ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, now a lot of it depends on the learning curve for him. If he's not picking it up as quickly, then maybe. But if he's picking up the offense and everything quickly, and if he's looking good, he's their quarterback.
I just look at it like, I think Will Levis probably could start right now in the NFL if he needed to. But if he doesn't have to, don't put him out there year one.
They're going to run the football. That's all they're going to do. They hadn't even drafted a receiver yet. They are going to run the football.
That's true. He's not throwing anybody.
Yeah.
They're
running the football unless, you know, obviously they still got more picks so they can pick up a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like their mode is build up the offensive line, let our defense do what they do. We're getting Harold Landry back. Mm-hmm. We've signed Big Jeff. We got a lot. We went out and we invested in the front seven. We are going to approach it from a defensive standpoint and run the football. That is what got us to the AFC Championship a few years ago, and that's what we're going to stick with until Will Levis comes along.
Yeah, and now there's no possible chance that they would trade away Henry just because of what you said.
Yeah, Henry's not going anywhere.
I never thought they were doing anything with Derek.
I didn't think either, but this secures his place on the team because you need to have your running back.
I'm a little bit leery that if the Titans took Will Levis at 3, if they took him even at 11, I would say, yeah, he's probably going to be your starter. But taking him in the second round, there's just not as much juice there. We'll see. They're going to battle it out in camp. I think it will be a true quarterback battle if Ryan Tannehill is not traded before then.
I just think that the stuff that he came in with, the hype that he came in with.
So much hype.
It's a lot of hype.
But so did Malik. But he was more raw than Will Levis was.
And everybody was talking about how, Levis' skill set was. I mean, his feet, his power. They said they remind him of Roethlisberger. So he's coming in with a lot of hype. So you better believe, just like I keep saying it, is if Tannehill does one thing wrong, I mean, people are going to get upset. I got a text from my son. I got a text from different people that are texting me. They said, thank God we got a receiver. I mean, thank God we got another quarterback. So if they're saying that already, you don't think the fans are rejoicing to say we got a quarterback and there's going to be a quarterback controversy? And in a way, I can say it's fair. In a way, I can't say it's fair because Tannehill's been a solid quarterback in this program. The only thing that I'm kind of concerned about is, last year when they played against the Cincinnati Bengals, yes, he had 3 interceptions in a playoff game. But at the end of the day, he was one of the saviors of your team. You know, the situation with Mario was doing terrible. He comes in and saves the day. So it's kind of tough to see him might not be the starter later on down the road.
Let's get to some of your phones. Phone lines driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. And I will say overall vibe in the text line, not great. It is not great. There are a whole lot of people that are not happy with Will Levis. A lot of people that are not happy with Will Levis.
Yeah, but we're in the SEC. They don't like Kentucky anyway.
There's going to be a whole lot of Tennessee fans that overall just don't like Will Levis. One, because of where he came from. And I think two, because they saw on full display Will Levis turn the ball over 4 times against the Tennessee Volunteers. We all saw on full display some really poor decision making from Will Levis. It could have been attributed to his offensive line, young receivers, a new offensive coordinator. But I've seen enough of Will Levis that I saw some just flat-out bad decision-making.
Yeah, I mean, he had 10 interceptions last year, and then the year before that, I can't remember how many.
Double-digit interceptions.
Yeah, he had 19 touchdowns last year and 10 interceptions.
That's not good.
And in 2021, he had 24 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. Mm-hmm. That's 23 interceptions in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Hendon Hooker, he had how many interceptions? 5 in the last 2 years.
But also, we could look at the system. That Hendon Hooker was, you know, placed in the perfect position, whereas Will Levis was placed in a whole lot of question marks.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, be it fair or not, but I always say, listen, you know, just because your personnel is different or you don't have the personnel, still doesn't excuse the throws that you make.
Yeah.
So when we say, well, his personnel was much different than it was his junior year or senior year. Hell, he's been in there 6 years, so I don't know what year it was for 2 years ago. But that 2 years ago, we can say, well, he had all the weapons, and he was great. Last year, he didn't have any weapons. But, yes, that is true, but you still control where you throw the football and where you place it.
Yeah.
And you've made some bad decisions. Now, we hope that you've learned from it and that our coaches – Charles London. You hope that Charles London can get you to a point where you're not making those same mistakes that you made in college your last year.
Yeah, in college you're going to have guys that are wide open.
Yeah, and that's even worse. Running wide, you don't get guys are open. There's a lot of space, and you're still throwing a bunch of interceptions.
Hey, D-Mace, we know at this level it is tighter coverage. And the thing about it is, you know,
as far as you are from Carolina, that's wide open. That's wide open. Yeah, that is wide open in the NFL.
The corner's a little slow.
Exactly.
And the thing about it is, he can't throw to an open man. You got to do like Tom Brady. He's throwing it to a spot.
Yes.
He's got to figure out how to throw it to a spot. And when you figure that out and throw it with anticipation, then that's when he can come out an elite, you know, quarterback. But if you're in college and you're missing wide open receivers and you're turning over the ball, you're getting to the next level. It's tighter coverage. The blitzes are coming. You know,
it's
all these things are coming at you. Mm-hmm. And if you can't process it quick and make the right decision, instead of having 10 interceptions, you're going to have about 14 interceptions.
I mean, Will Levis has pure qualities that do translate to the next level. Size, arm strength. He already has an understanding of the offense. The offense that he ran at Kentucky is that West Coast Shanahan offense that the Titans run here. The leadership, it's a very Vrabel kind of guy. You know, he's a hard worker. He's a leader in the locker room. And everything that I've read about Will Levis, first in the door, last out the door kind of guy. That all feels very Titans mentality-esque.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
He can be the first person in there, the last person in there.
But if he throws the ball to a defender?
It don't matter.
You are out the door.
It does not matter.
You're going to be the first person out the door, too.
TD will join us after a short break. We'll get TD's thoughts on the Titans' move going up in the second round at number 33 to take quarterback Will Levis. It is draft night in Nashville. We're out at the Wingstop in Inglewood, 1025, 1063, the game. Maybe Michael Mayer here.
Mayer or Musgrave, somebody like that.
Could hold out for a quarterback in next year's draft. The pick is in. Again, New Orleans is on the clock with the 40th overall pick. We'll workshop TD. We'll try and get TD on here shortly. Also, Mike Vrabel, Ran Carthon will meet with the media. And when they do, we will play their press conference live and in its entirety. But I do want to know TD's thoughts about Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, I'm here. Yeah.
TD, there you go, TD. Appreciate you for joining us. Your initial reaction to the Titans trading up to 33 and taking Will Levis.
Yeah, you know, initial reaction is a shake in my head reaction. That's really the one that I have. I'm not so sure that I would have moved up to get him. You look at, you know, this is a year where they needed to add more pieces, and they don't have a lot of draft capital. So to move back from, you know, 72 to 81, you got Jonathan Mingo going off the board. You still need to add receivers. So it's a tough call, but I feel like it's one of those things where they, you know, felt they had to get a quarterback this year, and this was their opportunity to do it, and they went up to get him.
TD, we've been discussing a little bit on air, but mostly off air, after this pick that the Titans made with Will Levis. What does this mean for Ryan Tannehill? I believe that if Will Levis shows any promise, if he shows that he's picking up this offense, which he is familiar with, I look at his age.
Right.
I look at the maturity sort of at the quarterback position. This could be a situation where he ends up being the day one starter. Mm.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be the day one starter, but you never know how things could work because, as you mentioned, there's plenty of scheme familiarity. You look at what he was asked to do, you know, in Kentucky, a lot of play action, throwing the ball down the field. You watch the Florida game, man. He threw that post route really, really nicely. Mm. He had a good game against them. So there's traits to like. I think, though, with Tannehill having the two voidable years, I think that will lead to him being a quarterback this year, give Levis some time to develop, and then he will take over next year when they void those years with Tannehill. I think it's like a $9.2 million penalty cap hit, so that's the way I look at it. But another guy you got to consider now is Malik Willis. I mean, man what attempted what 40, 50 passes in the league and was given up on already. It's crazy. They say not for long. That's what NFL stands for, and I think that's the case with Willis.
You know, TD, everybody talks about, you know, Will Levis having a strong arm. You know, reminds you of Roethlisberger. But what are some of the things that you're concerned about, you know, Will Levis?
Yeah, you know, my concern is the turnovers. That's the big thing that I've heard the comparisons to Roethlisberger. I think it's more of a comparison to Matthew Stafford, right, where a guy, like, the arm is tremendous. It's an awesome arm. I mean, he can stand there and throw the ball. I mentioned that post that he threw against Florida. But you have to look at some of the things that happen when you have a guy with that supreme arm talent. They're arrogant, right? And they feel like they can fit the ball in places where they probably shouldn't, and they make throws that they probably shouldn't, and that leads to turnovers. No coincidence, 23 picks in the last 2 years. So you do have that. It's just a matter of harnessing that and just, you know, making the reads easier and playing that way. Another thing, though, the short passing game. Everything doesn't have to be a lightning bolt. He has to learn to feather those throws a little bit better and improve that accuracy from that perspective.
TD is with us, Tron Davenport. TD, why do you think he fell in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, you look at apparently what's coming out is the toe injury. There were some concerns there. I think he was overprojected by media, to be honest with you. And he's getting drafted like right around where he probably should have been drafted. I think that's really the case here.
TD, the fans do not like this pick whatsoever.
Bless you.
Are you with them? Can you talk them off a ledge?
You know what? I can't talk them off the ledge with this other than to tell them, hey, look, you got some scheme versatility, you know, familiarity rather, and he's a guy that, you know, you play action and you deep pass, he's going to get that for you. You know, he could throw the ball vertically with the best of them. So that's something that he does bring to the table. I think if you look at, you know, the mobility, he could do that. You know, he will have to throttle it down and not run as much like a crash test dummy like he did at Kentucky. So you have those things. But, I mean, look, it's not a pick I would be happy about with if I was a fan. You know, but one thing, when Donovan McNabb was drafted by the Eagles, there were a lot of boos, and you saw what he was able to do.
Yeah. Now, looking at what the Titans have done, drafting Skoronski first in the first round, 11th overall. Now they take Will Levis. They have some holes to fill. Where do you think they go now? They only have one more pick today. I believe they just swapped third round pick, so they still have a pick today, if I'm correct. Do you think they go wide receiver? Will they shock us again?
Yeah, I think wide receiver is definitely an area they're going to have to look at 81. You got A.T. Perry. Cedric Tillman, if he's on the board, you know, you got to make that pick. A.T. Perry, you know, Tyler Scott, who will probably be there. And I tell you what, you get his vertical pass-catching ability with Levis's vertical throwing ability, you got something that you could kind of foundation-wise, you know, so that's what I would look at.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about the off-the-field stuff. You know, Mike Vrabel always talks about he wants to have a good locker room and have – he doesn't want to have me guys. Do you think that Will Levis would fit in the locker room and be a leader of men? Do you think he can actually do that?
You know, that's a question I really can't answer because I didn't make it over to his podium and speak with him. And I wouldn't want to say that about somebody without meeting them in person and having some type of interaction. That's just the way I am. You know, a lot of people will say, you know, based off of this, that, and the third, I'm not going to do that. So I think, you know, he was here for a visit. Brand Carthon was at his pro day. So I think those guys, having met with him in person, I think they have determined that, that would be a yes. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Last one for you, TD. From what we know now, the AFC South of the future will be Trevor Lawrence, Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, and Will Levis. How do you rank those quarterbacks?
I mean, right now I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence. I'll go Trevor Lawrence, Stroud, Richardson, Levis. And I think Levis is going to play before Richardson. I think Stroud's going to play before all of the rookies. I think Stroud's the day one starter. Richardson, I would say at least a year and a half they're going to give, because I think they want to really make sure that they bring him along correctly. He's only 20 years old, you got to remember as well.
TD, it's another long night for you, I know, and we appreciate you as always. We'll chat soon.
All right, no problem. Talk
appreciate
to you,
you, man.
Awesome.
Have a good one.
Thanks,
all right,
TD. All right, it is draft night in Nashville. We're out at the Wingstop in Inglewood. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with all of the coverage from night two of the NFL draft. It's draft night in Nashville, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It is draft night in Nashville. Caroline Fenton, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason. We're out at the Inglewood Wingstop, 3300 Gallatin Pike.
Inglewood.
The first 100 people that come by will get a coupon for 5 free boneless wings at their next visit. So come hang out with us at the Inglewood Wingstop. We just chatted with Teron Davenport, brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop pros. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. At the break, the Cardinals at 41 overall took B.J. Ojulari, who went to a fine institution.
Ohio State.
Great. Even better. Harvard of the South, Harvard of the Bayou. And Luke Musgrave, the tight end out of Oregon State, also off the board. But we were discussing Will Levis with TD, and TD didn't seem too thrilled with the pick of Will Levis. To me, and tell me how you two feel, it feels like a consolation prize. Will Levis feels like a consolation prize. Like the prettiest girl at the party, CJ Stroud, didn't want to go to prom with you, so you took some other girl. And it bothers me to a certain extent that C.J. Stroud was their guy, was the guy that they wanted to get. They were willing to risk the farm for C.J. Stroud. They didn't even want to take Will Levis at 11.
I know.
And now that's their guy of the future.
You know, you just said something that was so profound. They didn't take
him. Thank you, Chris.
I mean, no, that was that. I mean, because I didn't think of it like that. Mm-hmm. Why, if you didn't take him at 11, why would you take him at 41?
I mean, or 33.
Or 33, I'm sorry, 33.
Yeah, but in the second round,
In the second round. So if he's your guy and he's going to be the face of your franchise, why don't you take him in the first round? I mean, that's the kind of questions that we need answered. But it's just I just can't wait to see what's going to be unraveled. It's kind of like getting a gift on Christmas. You unravel it and you open it and you know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. We don't really know what that is yet. We don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback. We don't know if he's going to be inconsistent. We don't know what he's going to bring to this team, because if you trade Tannehill or let him go, whatever the Tennessee Titans are going to do, and he starts day one, how is he going to perform under pressure with the lights and, you know, all the things that's going on in practice?
Will Levis is up at the podium right now, so we will go to Will Levis's press conference now.
It feels great. It feels good. I mean, it was tough. It was a pain in the butt or pain in the foot, but I mean, The second half of the season, that definitely affected my play style. My athleticism, my feet is something that I feel like is one of my strengths in my game. And to not have that was, you know, it sucked. But, I mean, that's the nature of this game. This is a game where most people aren't playing at 100% week in and week out. And I think I learned a lot from that. I think I learned just mentally and physically just how to persevere through through difficulties. And it helped me for my future, I believe.
Do you need any kind of follow-up procedures on that?
No, I mean, from what I've heard, I've talked to some of the best foot doctors in the country, and everyone that have looked at it, they've said that it looks good, and the progress that I've made since that it happened has been great. I mean, I think really probably since late January, early February, I've been feeling 100%. So looking forward to getting back and being able to play kind of at full force.
What did you feel, Will, that they liked a lot about you and maybe vice versa, too? What do you like about, you know, the organization and coach and so forth?
I think they just liked my mentality. I think they think that I'm a guy that, and they know that I'm a guy that's going to go in and compete and just work my ass off. And I got what it takes to be play quarterback at the next level. I think I have the mental capacity to understand and execute a game plan at a high level. And I'm just looking forward to learning from Ryan, from Malik, from all the coaches, to just better myself throughout this whole process. And I just really liked, you know, how they believed in me, one, and then two, just their mentality with how they, I guess, try to get the right guys on the team and get the right people in the right positions in the program or in the franchise to create a culture that Coach Vrabel's been working on this throughout his entire career. So, I mean, I think I fit into that culture really, really well. And that's why they like me, I think.
And you mentioned, Ryan, you mentioned
guys that you were in the draft class with, Stroud and Richardson are going to be right here in the division. You looking forward to competing against them over the next few years and kind of seeing where it goes?
For sure. I mean, those are my guys. I mean, I wish them the best, and I was extremely happy to see them go where they did. And I mean, as long as they're not playing me, I wish them the best, you know. But definitely is going to be cool to have a lot of young quarterbacks in that division and kind of see how it pans out in the near future.
And you mentioned Ryan and Malik. How familiar are you with those guys? And you've only been with the team for 30 minutes, but what's kind of the thought process as you enter a competition to try to get on the field as fast as you can?
Hey, I just want to learn from them. They've been in the NFL a lot longer than I have, even though Malik's only been a year. So they already have a lot more experience and are going to be able to teach me a lot of things. And I mean, I just want to be a great teammate to them and a great teammate to everybody else on the team while competing at the same time and just feeling that out and just making sure I can do whatever I can to help the team win.
How would you describe differences between, you know, 2021, excuse me, and 2022 for you, Will, and the variables that went into that, you think?
A lot. I mean, I think we touched on the injury that I sustained, and that was only kind of one of a couple that I dealt with. But like I said, I feel like that just overall made me a better player in the long run. But I mean, new personnel, like new coaches, there's just not a lot of carryover. So, I mean, that's always tough. But I mean, we should have been a better team than we were. But I feel like throughout all the adversity that we faced, I was able to just improve and learn from it.
Paris Campbell.
All right, that was Will Levis. Titans new, yeah. Chris is hoping that Paris Campbell gets drafted, exactly. Even though Paris Campbell has been in the league for
absolutely
quite some time now.
Julius who?
The Colts are on the clock. Julius Brents, the cornerback out of Kansas State. I honestly don't know anything about him. We're starting to get into that territory.
Yeah.
Yes. That guy, never heard of him. But we just played Will Levis's press conference. He had a couple questions from the media. I still can't get past the fact that this wasn't the Titans guy. And they passed on him once. And now it's their quarterback of the future. And you're going to have to compete with the Allens and the Burrows and the Mahomes. Oh, yeah, and now Aaron Rodgers and Trevor Lawrence and C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson and Justin Herbert and Deshaun Watson.
Did you say it?
Whoa. Is that it?
And Kenny Pickett. That was the one I was missing.
But no, truthfully.
I'm there's like shaking my boots for Kenny Pickett, but still.
Truthfully, look at the AFC South. Look at what it was 2 years ago, or last year.
Mm-hmm.
Davis Mills, a beat up Ryan. I'm about to say Ryan Tannehill, but Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
A Ryan Tannehill that was hurt half the season.
Gardner Minshew.
And
Gardner Minshew.
And
Gardner
then
Minshew.
Who was the fourth quarterback? Oh, yeah, Trevor Lawrence.
Rookie Trevor Lawrence.
So
with,
you had four quarterbacks. Yeah, you have four quarterbacks, and the best quarterback was basically a rookie in Trevor Lawrence. Mm. Fast forward a year later, now you have Anthony Richardson, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, and who's the fourth one? Oh, Trevor Lawrence. So now you possibly went from having the worst division in regards to quarterbacks to potentially one of the best divisions. And I'm projecting it like 2 or 3 years down the line.
It could potentially.
Like this could be, we can be looking 2 or 3 years from now and thinking, man, this is going to be a battle. You know, regardless of how we feel of Will Levis, they think, and I think they had him graded as a second round guy. They drafted him
in
the second
round. Or at least lower than 11.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they believe they have their quarterback of the future. So now you have these four quarterbacks in 2 to 3 years. This either could be really good for all of us or really bad.
And I don't know what Anthony Richardson is going to be like. Apparently, Shane Steichen, the new head coach in Indianapolis, is some sort of quarterback whisperer.
Uh-huh.
He spent 1 year with Justin Herbert, and then he came to the Eagles in 2021, where Jalen Hurts had a year where we were all thinking, is he going to have a job next year? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, in 2022, we see what Jalen Hurts became. So I don't really know if I have enough of a body of work from Shane Steichen to label him as the quarterback guru that a lot of people want to. Maybe he is. Right. And maybe he is the person that is needed to unlock that ceiling of Anthony Richardson that I think is so intriguing about Anthony Richardson. The floor is low. The floor is in the you know, in the basement. But the ceiling is so incredibly high. So maybe he really is the guy that is able to unlock what Anthony Richardson can be.
But
maybe he's not. And maybe Anthony Richardson is what we saw at Florida, which was very inconsistent, you know, bad decision making, turned the football over a good bit. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe Will Levis is you know, the next Josh Allen.
I think with Richardson, they're gonna have to be patient with him. I mean, when and Stephen Nair came in 1995, and just like what me and Derek was talking about earlier, is Stephen Nair wasn't ready. I mean, he struggled with coverages, you know, rest his soul. He struggled with coverages and everything like that. But once he got it, and that was when he won the MVP. I mean, he probably is one of the best quarterbacks to ever come out of the Tennessee Titans organization. So with Richardson, they got to be patient. He's going to make mistakes, but if he gets it with his skill set and with his attitude and with his gigantic frame, I mean, he can be a sight to see. They're talking about him being the best quarterback athletic wise to ever come out of the draft. I mean, look at like Michael Vick. Michael Vick was athletic, speed wise.
He's a beast.
They're talking about being better than him. Those are big words to say. So if he gets it and understand how to read coverages and know when to you know, extend the pocket and going through his first and second and third read, yikes, that could be something special and a sight to see.
That's what scares me about Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Is them being able to unlock the Anthony Richardson that can be Anthony Richardson.
Well, I mean, if indeed they are able to sort of bring out the best in Anthony Richardson, you know, we just got to hope that, you know, Charles London and his staff, and I mentioned Charles London because he is the quarterback's coach.
Right.
So it's going to be tasked to him to make sure Will Levis is up to speed and ready to go. But if they can get Will Levis to sort of take another step, to not depend so much on his strong arm, but to learn how to have accuracy, touch, throw receivers open, reading coverages, spacing, if they get him to be able to do that, then I look at this, again, I look at this division with Trevor Lawrence, Will Levis, Richardson, Stroud. I look at this division as potentially being one of the top divisions in the next 3 or 4 years in regards to quarterbacks.
And you know, D-Lo,
now it's a big if, but if it all works out, because all these quarterbacks have different skill sets, and whether they were drafted first or whether they were drafted in the second, what we think about them or what has been thought about them is they're good players, but they need refining. They need some time. But if all of them get it, it's going to be really nice to watch football Sundays when this division is playing one another.
And no more mediocre quarterbacks.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yay.
Gardner Minshew. What does that do with the long Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, he's like, okay, come on.
The Sunday noon games that are just an absolute snooze fest.
But they're young and they're athletic. Young. They can run. They're physical. They have a chip on their shoulder. And those are just kind of the quarterbacks that they're once in a lifetime. And when you get guys like that that are the face of your organization and they start to develop into that great quarterback, I agree with Derek and I agree with yourself. This can be a straight-up fun division.
Absolutely.
The Detroit Lions, which is my hometown, they drafted Brian Branch, cornerback out of Alabama. I like him. He's a solid corner. He's one of those guys that he's a Nick Saban guy. He comes up. He's physical. He's a technician. He plays within the scope of the defense. He's a good tackler, good coverage guy. He doesn't have the top end speed that you would want a corner to have, but he's more of a zone quarterback. Can play man-to-man every once in a while, but he needs to be in zone a lot.
D-Mace and Chris's War Room is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, providing totally outrageous customer service. Visit ParmanTractor.com. D-Mace, you mentioned something, and it's the most important thing. Not just with the Titans, but with the Colts, with the Texans. It's the if with these quarterbacks. I think that C.J. Stroud, I think that he can, he has a high ceiling and a high floor, and the difference can be, you know, marginal. But I think the difference between Anthony Richardson's ceiling and floor is massive. Will Levis's probably isn't as big, but it's still a big difference. And I think that if is so incredibly key for the Tennessee Titans. Because if Will Levis doesn't turn out to be that quarterback that can get you winning the division, competing in the playoffs, getting you in the conversation with the Burrows and the Allens and the Mahomes, and I don't need him to be Mahomes. I just need you to be But I just need you to be there so my team can compete with those Mahomes. If he doesn't turn into that, I think that's Mike Vrabel's job.
Yeah, but, okay, here's the thing. You didn't have to give up much to get him, right?
Correct.
Second round pick. You want him to be your franchise quarterback. You love for him to be your franchise quarterback. What if he's just – what if he's Ryan Tannehill? After it's all said and done, he is Ryan Tannehill for the next 10 years for your organization. Mm-hmm. Is that a win for the Titans?
I don't know.
Because I could see if you draft him in the first round, then it would be like, no, we need more. We need more than just Ryan.
Right.
But you drafted him in the second round.
Is it Tannehill that we saw in 2019 and 2020? Or was it interception-prone Tannehill we saw in 2021? Because if I get 2019 Tannehill, I can live with that. Absolutely. I mean, you're going to be competitive in the AFC if you get a Tannehill like that.
Yeah.
But if Will Levis turns out to be a guy who's throwing three interceptions in a playoff game.
Okay, here's Ryan Tannehill. On average, this is what his average is based upon his career. He's a 26, I think I'm correct in this. He's a 25, 26, 10 guy. So 25, 26 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. If he gives you that, and he can go from anywhere from 3,700 yards to over 4,000, just depends. But that's what Ryan Tannehill is. If you look at his career, you put it all together, he's about a 26-10, 26-11 guy.
Fair. 3,000-ish yards.
Right. Over it has to be closer to the 4,000-yard mark, if not 4,000. I'm almost okay with that because what I get is consistency in the playoffs. And if I surround the team the way I need to, we have an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. We are always in contention to make it to the Super Bowl. I'm not talking about winning it, but we're always in contention. Yeah. When they talk about the six or seven teams that could potentially make it to the Super Bowl every year, your name comes up because of the quarterback. He's not great. He's not elite. But he's not bad either.
If you get Jalen Hurts-esque results.
When
you've got a badass receiving core, you've got a solid offensive
that's
line.
That's the key.
You got a really good defense. That's what made the Eagles what they were this past year versus what they were in 2021.
And
I think that if the Titans construct this team like that, that's what Will Levis could do.
Yeah, he could. But the thing about it is, this is why you need a veteran receiver.
Yeah.
You got to get a veteran receiver. I don't know who that's going to be. I know everybody's talking about DeAndre Hopkins.
No,
I don't think you should get
him.
No, absolutely not. But you got to get somebody in.
I love D-Hop, man. Get off of me. Y'all know I love D-Hop.
I loved him a few years ago.
You know, I mean, I like him too. But the thing about it is you got to get a guy that can talk him through situations. When I say talk him through situations, it's third and five, it's third and six, and you need him to make a play. Where am I going to be? Look at his coverage and start to conversate through him to where if it's a tough situation. Because everybody can talk about, you know, what makes a great quarterback. I think what makes a great quarterback is how he handles situation ball. When I say situation ball, when it's a minute and 30 seconds left on the clock, you got two timeouts and you got to get a touchdown. You're on a 50-yard line with 50 seconds left in the game and you got to score a field goal. Those are the quarterbacks that are great. That's what made Tom Brady so good is because in situation ball, he made a play and he made something happen. That's what I want to see with Levis.
And I think the difference of Will Levis being Josh Allen, who's he's been comped with a lot, yeah, versus Carson Wentz, which is probably the other side of his comp. I feel like the middle of that is probably Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. The difference of that is up to the Titans.
The coaches,
it's up,
yeah,
to Vrabel. It's up to Charles London. It's up to Tim Kelly to be the difference of what he can be on both ends of the spectrum. Because when Ryan Tannehill came into Tennessee, he was what he was.
Yeah,
you know, and he had better seasons in Tennessee, yeah, in 2019 and 2020 than he, yeah, did in Miami. But overall, as a quarterback, he was developed. He was a starter in the league. He was what he was. You weren't going to all of a sudden, you know, he wasn't going to become a drastically different passer, right, than he was in Miami. Will Levis is still Plato. That, yeah, can be kind of formed one way or another. So it's up to the Titans.
Yeah, but see, with Tannehill, he has some experience. I mean, he has some experience in the NFL. You got, mm-hmm, Will Levis is coming into a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, you know, great defense. You got talking about guys that are fast, and you got to throw the ball to a window. And I said window to where only the receiver can catch it. So those are the things that he's going to have to improve on. Because if you're throwing interceptions now or last year in college, it's going to be tighter coverage, and you have to make those plays.
Here's something for you. I'm going to give you some numbers, and tell me if you take it. 27, 28, and 12. Would you take that?
27.
I would live with that. I would.
You know who that is? Josh Allen. 27 and 12. That's what, over the last five seasons, that's what his average touchdown to interception, 27 and 12. So if you can live with that, and if that is Will Levis, now we know there are, because he brings more to the table because, yeah, he rushes for touchdowns too. But I'm just saying from a passing standpoint, he's a 27-12 guy.
Yeah. Josh Allen is not the best protector of the football.
Yes. Nah. But many consider him an elite quarterback.
And I think it is because of what else he can do.
Exactly.
Plays that
the
he can make
stuff
with his,
yes,
legs. But let's not forget that the Josh Allen that we know now, yeah, was very different than the Josh, yeah, Allen, yeah, of the first couple of years in the league. You add in Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
You bring in Von Miller, an elite defense, and, yeah, you give him a solid offensive line. And once he has a couple of years of experience in the league, that's when he became considered an elite. His first couple of years in the league, it was
I don't think he's an elite quarterback. That's just me. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. And as long as Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes is in the AFC, he will never make it to the Super Bowl unless something fluky happens.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Because of the gauntlet of quarterbacks, he's not, to me, he's not an elite quarterback. That's just me. Is he a good quarterback to really good quarterback? Absolutely, because he brings other things to the table. Yeah. He can run for touchdowns. He's physical. He's a leader. He's tough.
Yeah.
But when you just look at him from the quarterback position, throwing the ball and being careful with the ball, he's Ryan Tannehill, 27 and 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a name out to you. Is Locker. Jake Locker.
Don't do that to him.
Jake Locker's nowhere in the building with these guys.
No, I'm not saying he's good as them. I'm saying this. Does Will Levis remind you of Jake Locker?
No.
Don't even steal that juju swole? into the universe, Chris.
Is that a Crazy Chris comment?
That's Crazy Chris.
Okay. Hey, y'all. Y'all just heard Crazy Chris.
The sun's going down. Yeah. Crazy Uncle Chris is starting to come
crazy
out.
What's in your cup? What's in your cup, Crazy Chris, coming out on Chris?
But that's what I think a lot of Titans fans are scared of. That Will Levis is going to be Jake Locker.
Not going to be Jake Locker.
This poor Titans fandom is so
don't even say that to the fans, man.
She told me to say it.
I did, Chris.
Oh, my goodness.
My hands are clean.
She texted me, said, Chris, say Jake Locker. I'm like, okay.
My hands are clean. I'm innocent.
What are the people saying about Jake Locker?
Well, the B&B Flooring Update Desk, brought to you by bnbflooringtn.com. Ian Rappaport tweets about Will Levis's toe, which I haven't heard of the toe up until yesterday, honestly.
I've heard
nothing about a toe, but apparently he has a toe injury. He may have to undergo surgery. Jim Wyatt said his toe feels good. No follow-up procedures are needed. So he already underwent the toe surgery. Ian Rappaport says, didn't get the sense that it was much of an issue, though he showed toughness getting it shot up before many games last year. Okay. Thank you for that from Will Levis's agent.
That means he can play kickball, right?
I guess. Okay, I guess. I might recruit Will Levis for my team. He looked.
What?
I'm on a kickball team. We play not too far from here, actually.
Oh, man.
If he looks as beefy as he looked in those mirror selfies that he took, I think he could be an asset for my kickball team.
If you ever see me in a singlet taking a picture of selfie, you need to call the frog, man. You need to call security. You need to call and come get me because I'm never, ever going to do that, ever.
Yeah, I don't like the mirror selfie.
That's Nah, okay, go ahead.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Any guy, any man over the age of 30, because I'm not going to say in the 20s because I know how these kids are nowadays, and that's their world. I get it. But any man over 30, 35, 40, if you are taking mirror selfies, consistently and putting them up, bro. Your account needs to be frozen.
And then it needs
to be frozen and deleted.
In his hair feather to the side. I mean,
he's got a frat boy swoop.
You're taking
for sure.
Bathroom selfies now. I'm not talking about like a selfie, like you geared up, you blinked out.
That's different.
You get ready to go out and check that. Okay, my fit's right. All right, good. No, I'm just talking about a bathroom selfie, like. Like, no, you don't do that. Might as well get the duck lips too while you're at it.
I think the lips were just a wee bit pursed in those photos that he posted on Twitter.
First of all, you too swole to be doing that. You in that bench at 3:15, you taking selfies in the bathroom?
Yeah, like, look, you're a quarterback, Will. Like, you should
now,
look like
you
that.
With your
you're
girlfriend,
a quarterback.
If you with your girlfriend or something, that's totally different. But
don't you feel weird?
Mine like, has to look through Chris's phone like, and his text his girlfriend.
If you walk into the bathroom after working out, I would almost feel weird like taking a picture because I'm looking like, man, is anybody around? I feel weird taking a picture, a selfie workout picture like.
Flexing
like,
so
flexing,
hard.
Like, no.
He needs to go in timeout immediately.
Yeah, I'm going to put you in the corner.
What do you make of interview with Peyton Manning? So they got to sit down, a bunch of the quarterbacks of the Manning Passing Academy got to ask Eli and Peyton Manning questions. Hendon Hooker said, you know, what's it like to be, like, how do you motivate the team? How do you serve as a leader? You know, C.J. Stroud, they were all asking questions, good questions that you would ask as a college quarterback, Peyton freaking Manning. And Will Levis asks him about marketing opportunities.
See, what did I say? There are guys that ask themselves, what can I do for this game?
Absolutely.
How can I improve this game? What legacy can I leave in this game? There are those guys. And then there are other guys that say, what can the game do for me?
Yep.
Like, I'm out, you know, partying and everybody knows who I am and I'm getting endorsements. Listen, if you play well, they pay well. And when I say they pay well, that's everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
They ain't paying well if you ain't playing well. Yeah. So, Will Levis, you need to rethink what you're thinking. If you're playing well, then those things are coming. You ain't even got to ask the question.
Yeah, maybe chill on the endorsement deals and learn how to not turn the football over.
There we go.
Exactly. I mean, there's a point in time to talk about that marketing. But in that
it's an element.
In that setting.
Yeah.
But he asked you about ball. And you're talking about, hey, is the market? I'm being respectful when I say that, but when you're coming into the league, you want to make sure you have the right mindset. That when you're in the building, it's strictly football, and you're not taking selfies. And I'm being funny and everything, but you better come in here with a different mindset because guys are coming for your job. Guys are going to try to hit you in the mouth, and you got to play it to expectation.
I remember when I got drafted.
Was taking selfies?
And no, I wasn't. When did they even have selfies back then? I don't even think I had a phone. I may have
a flip phone.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember when I got drafted, and obviously I was a little disappointed. But my brother told me right before we left to go to Houston, because remember he had that camp in Houston, week camp, and it was hot as fish.
Man, fit, man.
Good Lord, I had never experienced heat like that in my life. I wanted to
Houston
cry.
Houston heat is different. Man.
I wanted to cry, it's literally.
Bad. Yes, sir.
Man, but my brother told me, he said, listen, when you get, it's all about football. So when they give you that playbook, you need to be in that playbook every minute you can be in it. And you know what? When I got that playbook, I can remember one day we ended up going back to the hotel. And it was like a two-story. It wasn't a hotel. It was sort of like a
Residence Inn.
Yeah, but it had. But it was. I think Joey and I were standing in the room together, or it may have been another receiver. It may have been a kid they drafted out of Illinois, the real tall kid.
Jasper Strong.
I think it was.
Yeah, Jasper Strong, because he got cut later on. Jasper Strong, yes.
So I remember going into the room that day, and I remember him saying, I went upstairs to the little balcony thing and went to lay down, but I had my playbook with me and reading the play. He was like, hey, man, we were getting ready to go get something to eat. You want to come? And I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
My thing was, I didn't come here to eat.
Yeah.
I came here to study the book. I came here to earn a job. I can eat when they serve us dinner. I'm not paying for nothing extra. I came here to play football. That's what I came here to do. I didn't come here to eat or see Houston and do all this other stuff. And that's what Will Levis has to understand.
Michigan State, baby.
My boy, there we go, Jaden Reed. If y'all didn't watch that kid, last year was phenomenal. He had a phenomenal junior year. But this is going to be an underrated pick. This is going to be a pick that you look at in the next couple of years and say, wow, how did he slip out of the first round? Or how did he slip so far into the second round? This kid is a player. He transferred from, I think, Western Michigan. He ended up playing with his quarterback that he played with in high school. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
wow.
Those two guys, when he got there his junior year, they were in sync, lock and step the minute he got on campus. But this kid, and he doubles as a returner. He reminds me of myself. But this kid is good. I like him.
And it does not surprise me that Green Bay would invest a good bit of draft capital into the receiver core.
They have to.
They want to see what they have in Jordan Love. They've got Christian Watson, who was a baller last year.
Yes.
They want to see, okay, we'll put all of these pieces around Jordan Love. Now it's up to him to show us what he can do.
But he's basically a rookie.
Basically,
he hasn't played that much football. So he's still developing to a position of being a good quarterback, and he's still unknown. I mean, not unknown in the NFL, but he's going to have to make plays. The receiving corps is going to have to help him out and make sure he's prepared.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what Green Bay wants to do, because outside of Christian Watson, it's what Romeo Doubs.
Lazard is gone.
Lazard is traded to New York. The Dolphins are now on the clock. Is that Tron Armstead?
Yeah.
Tron Armstead making the selection for the Miami Dolphins.
I thought that was Samuel Jackson.
St. Louis's finest, might I add, Tron Armstead.
You say he's from Colorado.
He is not from Colorado.
I'm just kidding.
Chris.
I'm kidding. Oh, the DB.
Cam Smith, corner out of
That's
South Carolina. What do y'all know about Cam Smith? D. Mason, Chris's War Room, brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, providing totally outrageous customer service. Visit ParmanTractor.com.
Yeah, I mean, he's got great ball skills. I mean, he's 6 feet, 188 pounds. And the one thing I love about him is he breaks up the football. When you have a defensive back that's consistently around the ball in a ball hawk, you want to have him in the organization. So I think that's a great pick for the Miami Dolphins.
D-Mace, do you know anything about Cam Smith?
I didn't watch South Carolina much. He wasn't one of my guys that I looked at as a top-tier corner in this year's draft. I think he will be – considering, the conference that he played in and receivers he had to go against, he has faced stiff competition. But just like anything, I mean, once you move up to the next level, you have to be able to adapt.
Yeah.
And I guess the Miami Dolphins feel he can adapt well into that defense that they're running.
Seattle's pick is in at 52. The draft board is fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Per Mel Kiper's draft board, Hendon Hooker is the best available player. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle's looking for a little bit of depth behind Geno Smith. Wouldn't be surprised if Hendon Hooker is off the board here at 52 with Seattle.
Because he can sit. I mean, he can
sit.
That's the key.
They
to
just
learn
signed Geno.
And get healthy.
So, yeah, Hendon Hooker is – I would assume – he told Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow and Hot Mike that he would be good to go for this year's training camp.
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy that
Let him sit.
Let him get 100% healthy. Don't put him in the position that he has to start right away, and that is the position Seattle's in. And they go with Zach Charbonnet, the running
good
back out of UCLA. You like him, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, just good, quick, got great vision. The one thing I love about him, he's maybe not big in stature – but he plays big. And the thing about it is, the one thing I love about him is he avoids the first hit. When he gets hit once or twice, he doesn't get tackled first. So I think that's a great pick, great vision, great quick feet. Love the pick.
And I swear, if I keep seeing highlights against LSU.
Why does everybody have good highlights against LSU?
Everybody has good highlights against LSU. God, the number one highlight I would see of Anthony Richardson, 81-yard touchdown run against LSU. I swear, it's just
every commercial.
It's killing me. It's a hard time for me. Seattle goes running back there. What do we think about Hendon Hooker? Who goes first, D-Mace? Stetson Bennett or Hendon Hooker?
Ooh. Y'all know I love
Stetson. Did you hear D-Mace love Stetson Bennett?
Oh, Stetson
Bennett. That's an Uncle Chris one.
That's crazy Stetson. Uncle D-Mace right there.
Uncle D-Mace.
Hey, listen. Crazy Mace. Whoever takes Stetson Bennett, it's going to be a good pick. He's either going to be your starter one day or he's going to be a hell of a backup.
I think he's going to be a hell of a used car salesman one day. Yeah.
Or he can always go back to Georgia.
Look
and
out,
for
Cobb
mayor.
County, Georgia. You just got your best salesman.
But he's a winner, though. I mean, he wins games.
But
with
he
the thing
won
about it,
games.
He can always go back to Athens, Georgia, and become mayor.
Exactly.
There you go.
He'll be the president of the University of Georgia one day.
Yeah. I would go with Hendon Hooker before him. Absolutely.
It's that it to me. And this is only me, and this could be a delirious Derek take, okay?
Crazy Chris, delirious Derek.
Exactly. but I don't think there's – if you look at their play, to me there's not much that separates them two. Because the thing that – say if you believe that Hendon Hooker is a better passer – of the football, like just true passer of the football. Not to say that Stetson Bennett is a bad passer, but you're grading both of them. You said, well, Hendon Hooker he seems to be a little bit better passer than Stetson Bennett. I come back to you and say Stetson Bennett is more of a playmaker than Hendon Hooker. Why? Because he has the ability and he's shown to get outside the pocket and make things happen. So to me, these two guys are not too far apart when you're talking about their skill set and what they could do. Yes, Hendon Hooker is, 4 inches taller? Because Stetson Bennett, 5'11"? Yeah. Hendon Hooker's about 6'4", somewhere around there.
Is he that tall?
6'2", 6'4", 6'3", somewhere in that range. But
just like Bryce Young's in the 200-pound range.
Exactly.
Sure.
Aren't we all?
But I think those two guys are closer than what – we may think. And I think probably some scouts probably have them ranked probably somewhere in the same ballpark.
And they're both athletic. I mean, they're both athletic quarterbacks. And just like what you said, they can escape and extend the pocket and make plays. So, you know, I just think that the only thing is I think Hendon has a stronger arm.
Yeah.
He has a stronger arm. But as in grit and wanting to make plays, I think they're even on the same plane. I agree with you on that.
And I do think the interesting thing about those two, and we've got a table full of angry Vols fans over there comparing Hendon Hooker and Stetson Bennett.
No, they're over there chewing.
Neither of them really were forced to do a ton.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that is I feel like Hendon Hooker, I'm not going to say he was a product of the system, but I do find it a little bit odd that Hendon Hooker struggled to get a starting spot at Virginia Tech. He gets plugged into the Josh Heupel offense. Now, all of a sudden, Tennessee is the number one team in the country. Now, Hendon Hooker had to do that. Uh-huh. He had to come in and execute that system, but I feel like the system is set up for success. Stetson Bennett, on the other hand, I mean, he was just surrounded by absolute beasts, offensively and defensively. Top defense in the country both years that Stetson Bennett was the starter. You got Brock Bowers, who's like 7 feet tall, 400 pounds. Darnell Washington. Yeah. You got a solid offensive line in front of you. Yes, Stetson Bennett did have to make plays, and there were a lot of times that he extended those plays by being so mobile and being on the run. But there are also certain circumstances where I'm like, well, I could have made that play.
Yeah, but Hooker,
if I had that defense and those tight ends.
But Hooker, too, he had two studs at wide receiver.
Studs.
I mean, Hyde and Cedric Tillman. So he had some guys to throw the ball to. So, but here's the deal. They still got to make the play, though. I mean,
exactly.
When it comes down to it, you still got to make the throws. You still got to execute the offense.
Yeah.
Chicago's pick is in at 53. Who do you think they're going?
I have no idea who the Chicago Bears need. They could go wide receiver.
Yeah.
Just to get Justin Fields or tight end. Just to get Justin Fields more weapons.
Did the tight end go yet?
Mel Kiper's top available players, Hendon Hooker won, which Chicago's not going Hendon Hooker. They're good in the quarterback front. Darnell Washington, the tight end out of Georgia, who is a monster. Tyreek Stevenson out of Miami, the corner. Osiris Torrance, the guard out of Florida.
Get your Osiris out.
Now, Chicago, I feel like, is a team that could use a little bit of depth and a little bit of help everywhere. Defensively, they could use a whole lot of help. Wouldn't be surprised if Tyreek Stevenson is the pick here, the corner out of Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
Devin Hester, former wide receiver, is up at the podium with the Chicago Bears picks.
Chicago Bear.
Okay. Chicago taking Jervon Dexter Sr.
Why was he so aggressive with his call? Why was he so aggressive with his call?
There's another freaking highlight against LSU. I swear, every single player in this draft has a highlight against LSU. Every single time.
Well, that tells you probably one thing. LSU was the whipping boy for everybody.
Absolutely.
They was just wah.
Not Bama.
Not Bama, you're right.
What does LSU stand for? What, Loser School University?
No, what does Ohio State stand for?
At least we're a Buckeye.
What is that?
It's a nut that you can throw at people.
No, we wouldn't miss if Buckeyes were no longer in the world. We wouldn't miss it.
Wouldn't miss it.
No, not one bit.
Michigan State Trojans.
No, Spartans.
I know Spartans.
The sun starts to go down a little bit more. Yeah. Chris starts
Crazy
to slowly
Chris.
Lose
and
his mind.
Goes down
and
a little
I gotta
bit.
Go to Memphis tomorrow too. At 4 a.m.
Ooh.
Got to drive.
What are you going to Memphis
doing
for?
Doing some things for the NFL. We're doing this health wellness, mental health and all that stuff. Want to talk to some people and encourage some people that, hey, you can make it.
Well, they picked the perfect guy to do that.
I'm learning from D-Mace. D-Mace is that guy.
Chargers pick is in at 54. Hendon Hooker, Darnell Washington, Tyreek Stevenson, Osiris Torrance, John Michael Schmitz, the center out of Minnesota. Those are all available on Mel Kiper's best available list. The Chargers, interesting here.
What do you think, a receiver or quarterback?
They're not taking a quarterback.
Oh, no, not quarterback. I'm talking about cornerback.
Cornerback?
Cornerback or wide receiver.
Potentially. I think they're going to go receiver here. I think they'll go receiver. Jalen Hyatt is the best available receiver per Mel Kiper. Jalen Hyatt, Cedric Tillman, and Marvin Mims out of Oklahoma are the top three receivers available per Mel Kiper Jr.
Why is everybody so aggressive when they get on the mic? Everybody's so aggressive.
You get a mic in front of somebody, and I swear they turn into a different person.
Man, exactly. Just aggressive.
It's like, man, calm down a little bit. Calm down. You don't have to yell.
There's a microphone in front of you.
Exactly.
We hear you.
There's a bunch of amps and speakers everywhere. We can hear you.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we can absolutely hear you. Chargers took Quentin Johnson in the first round. I forgot about that. So they're taking Tule
Patuli.
The edge rusher out of USC.
I butchered that thing completely.
Just call him
Tule Paluto.
Tule
Paluto.
Tule Paluto.
Tutti Paluto.
Edge rusher.
Yeah. He's an edge rusher.
Edge rusher.
Just call him T-squared.
At USC.
T-squared.
Yeah, double T.
T-squared.
Double T. Do we know anything about him?
I mean, he's got great bend. I mean, he's got great speed off the edge, and he's got that first step that you need as an edge rusher. You know, I'm not saying he's close to Landry, but he gets off the ball kind of like Landry.
Okay.
Well, there you go. The pick is in.
Well, there you go. Now the picks are coming in a lot quicker than they were last night. Thank you.
Thank God.
Thank goodness. Kansas City, the pick is in with number 55.
What if they get another wide receiver? What if they get a receiver?
Who did Kansas City take in the first round?
I think they got a receiver, didn't they?
They took the first Felix round. And Newt Dike Uzama.
Yeah.
Edge rusher out of Kansas State.
Oh, yeah.
They need a receiver. Kansas City needs a receiver.
Yeah. Juju's gone.
Juju's gone. And then obviously
Tyreek
is gone.
Speed or Mecole Hardman speed with a Jalen Hyatt.
Jalen Hyatt could be their Tyreek Hill replacement, but He's not Tyreek Hill. Nobody. The speed you could comp to Tyreek Hill, but he doesn't have the hands or the route running ability that Tyreek Hill has. Or at least we didn't see it on display at Tennessee.
And that's what concerns me about Jalin Hyatt. That's why when I'm asked, you know, which receiver would you go with, Hyatt or Cedric Tillman? I'm more so if it's Cedric Tillman the guy because he seems more of the more polished, ready to go wide receiver, a guy that you can put inside, outside, that can run just about every route on the route tree. We didn't see that from Jalin Hyatt. Mm-hmm. All I saw was either it was a hitch, a quick screen, a post, or a go. That's all I saw. But if the man has the speed, that's what you do. Again, I've always said, college coaches aren't there to get you ready for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the NFL.
Right.
They're there to get you ready for a college football game and to win games for them, not for the NFL. So,
I mean, Kentucky runs a pro system. We saw how many games they won last year.
I think with Hyatt, I think the one thing he struggled, just watching him on film, he struggled with getting off the press. I mean, if you have a free release and you run a 4-3, you're going to run by a lot of people. But understanding how to win at the line of scrimmage, understanding how to get the defensive back off a spot, lie with his eyes, chest over his knees, all those things that you need to know as a wide receiver. So if you don't do that at the next level, you're going to learn quick that they're going to put a safety over top, take away the deep route. Now you got to run the route. You got to run a hitch, the slant, the digs, the comebacks. You got to learn how to run those things. And, you know, just to kind of give an example, when I first got in the league, I was very, very raw. I mean, I was fast, I could jump, but I didn't understand how to run routes. I didn't understand that if he's shading inside, I got to come up with a game plan. I think with Hyatt, he's got to come up with a game plan of understanding how to run routes because you just can't run by everybody on every play.
He reminds me, and this is not a good thing, he reminds me of Justin Hunter. When Justin Hunter got drafted, I said, he's just a flat out, he's a down the field, stretch the field guy. He's not a guy that can that you can put anywhere on the field. He's not a guy that can run every route. And basically that it's basically come true with his career in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a short career. I don't think he's on the roster now. He was here with the Titans for a quick minute for a cup of coffee and then gone. But, you know, when you get to this league, you have to learn very quickly how to run routes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. If you were not taught that, you got to figure it out very quickly because I can, after a while, a good defensive coordinator or any defensive coordinator worth any salt will find a way to neutralize your speed. Mm-hmm. Ask Tyreek Hill what team started doing to him when he was in Kansas City. They neutralized that speed. This kid went from averaging 15, 16 yards a catch to averaging 12.
Yeah.
Why? Not because he's not fast, but because teams say, listen, we're not giving you the deep stuff. You can catch all this stuff underneath, but we're not. You got to prove to us you are a route runner and can catch the ball. And he has. So now you got to pick your poison. Jalin Hyatt is going to have to figure out very quickly, or any guy coming out in this year's draft that is just a speed guy, got to figure out very quickly that this is not college football.
And you are no longer in a system that is designed to get you wide open.
Exactly.
I'm going to throw a name out, Tyrone Calico.
Yes.
Tyrone Calico was big, physical, and I think he had one of the fastest times in the history of the combine. He's probably in the top 10.
Yeah, and this guy was 6'4".
Man, could run, but he couldn't run routes. He didn't have that bend, the chest over your knees, the exploding out of the cuts. And that's why he didn't last in the league so long. And then he had a couple of injuries and all that.
Yeah, that knee injury. That really knee injury.
But he didn't know how to run routes. And when I first got in the league, I didn't understand how to run routes either. But once I got with Les Steckel and he taught me how to a game plan and how to burst off the cut, lie, all those things you need to know as a wide receiver. But if you don't learn that in the league, you're going to get jammed at the line of scrimmage and you're going to be sitting on the sidelines drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah, having a cup of coffee. I contribute, you know, my ability to be able to run routes. I go back to Charlie Baggett who recruited me coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. Skip Pete. His brother Rodney was a quarterback in the NFL for the Detroit Lions. You know, when Charlie and Skip was at Michigan State, and then you got the likes of Andre Rison, Courtney Hawkins, all these guys that had come out of Michigan State. And the one thing they would always say, especially Charlie and Skip, you gotta learn how to run routes. We work extensively on how to run routes, dropping your hips, keeping your head over your shoulders, not tipping routes off. I remember I was horrible my first year of college. they used to, when I would run routes, they was, oh, Mason, he's putting out that parachute again, because it was like I was deliberately showing people I was getting ready to stop because I didn't know how to run.
Point.
But they showed me over and over again, this is how, look, they put on film, LaAndre Rison and Courtney Hawkins, these guys. So much so, I wore 80 because of Andre Rison. Mm-hmm. I saw so much film of him that I'm like, this is who I want to be.
There's a wide receiver.
The Chiefs have selected Rashe Rice out of SMU, he's the wide receiver.
He's a speed guy.
He's a speedy guy?
Yep.
That's their Tyreek Hill.
Yep, but he's got to run routes. I mean, he's got to run routes. I looked at him a little bit on film to see how high he is. If I'm a defensive back, I'm covering that. You're not gonna get away with that in the pros. You take a wide outside release and don't stack him. When I say stack him, that means get back on your line. If you don't do that, you're gonna get pushed out of bounds. And those are the little things that we talk about. And we talk about as a wide receiver, we call it in my coaching. I call it expression. When I say you express yourself in your routes, what do I do at the top of the routes? How do I lie with my eyes? How do I get them off the spot? How do I do these things to express myself? And once they understand how to express themselves, then that's when they become those elite receivers. Because some of the greatest receivers that's ever been in the league are not your fastest receivers. And I commend Derek. Derek, you know, I watched Derek run routes in the league. I mean, he's explosive at the top of his routes.
Yeah.
He gets in it. I mean, it's like, boom, boom. And he gets out of his routes. And that's why Derek Mason was so prolific in the league, because of his route running.
So what?
Well, thank you, Chris.
I don't like
that.
That was
very sweet.
No, it's true. It's you. There's some of the best route runners I've ever seen is Webster Slaughter, yourself, Jerry Rice, Torrey Holt. Those are the guys that, man, I look at them running routes, I'm like, gosh, Lee, because of different stems that they did, different things that they did, you know, how to express themselves, just like what I said. But, yeah, I think I'm going too long. Go ahead.
What do we make of the fact that there have been 7 receivers taken and neither of the Tennessee guys are off the board? Do we think NFL GMs are looking at that system and saying, look, you got the talent, but I can't touch that. You know, that doesn't translate to what I want to do.
They're trying to figure out if it translates, yes.
Yeah. The Bears pick is in as well. Pick number 56.
Chicago Bears. With the 56th pick in 2023 draft.
He mad.
Chicago Bears select Tyreek Stevenson, DB, University of Miami.
Okay. You.
The Bears continue to bolster up some much, much needed defensive help. Tyreek Stevenson, the corner out of Miami. What do we know about him?
Man, just aggressive. A guy that's kind of physical, the guy that can kind of blitz off the edge, and we just kind of see that while the film is going on. But he's one of those guys that'll come up and strike you, hit you in the mouth, and also he'll jam you at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. What he does, he might not be big in stature, but he plays physical, and he plays fast, and he plays aggressive. That's why they took him at that pick.
D-Mace and Chris's War Room is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, providing totally outrageous customer service. Visit ParmanTractor.com. We're out here at the Wingstop in Inglewood, 3300 Gallatin Pike. The first 100 people that come to Wingstop tonight, they will get a coupon for 5 free boneless wings for their next visit. So come hang out with us at the Wingstop in Inglewood. The Draft Night in Nashville show night 2 is brought to you by D&M Development, featuring the New Cumberland with views of downtown and the Cumberland River, thenewcumberland.com. And the Nashville Sheriff, the Davidson County Sheriff's Office, is hiring correctional officers. Call 615-862-8170. We are on location at the Inglewood Wingstop. We'll take a quick break. When we return, the Titans trade up to 33 overall to take Will Levis. What does that mean for the Titans' future? What does that mean for Mike Vrabel's future? It is draft night in Nashville, night 2, 102.5, 106.3, the game.